Amen. You may be seated. Happy Friday, everyone. Here we go. First Friday Chapel of the 2016-2017 school year. My name is Paul Boersma, and I'm starting my 23rd year as chaplain at Hope College. I know. And I got the best job in the world. I do. I get to hang out with students like you. And you guys are so fascinating. You are smart, you're passionate, you're creative. I mean, you're always coming up with new ideas. I'll give you an example. I was walking campus a couple of weeks ago, and I came across this great poster on campus. Have you seen this? So Hope College seniors, Gabe Boss, Dan Miller, and junior Justin Pinto have created Not Your Mother's Laundry. This is awesome. I mean, these guys will pick up your laundry, they will wash it, they will dry it, they will fold it, and they will deliver it back to you. Come on. That is a sweet idea. But let me give you another sweet idea. This isn't new, but this is sweet in my world, Boersma's world. XM Radio. Come on, who's got it? XM Radio? Now, it costs money. That's why you don't have it. But I got it. XM Radio, 220-plus channels without commercials, right? It's radio heaven. And one of my favorite stations is X6 Radio. 1960s music exclusively. I love it. I love it. Hang with me. I know, it dates me. X6 Radio. So recently I'm listening to X6 Radio and I'm singing along with artists like the Beach Boys. Ba 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 Baran. Or this Diana Ross and the Supremes, Motown. Ain't no mountain high enough. Okay, you got that one? Or the Beatles. She loves you, yeah, yeah. You can tell I was having a good time. X6 Radio. But then a song came on the radio that made me stop singing because the words of the song got me thinking. It was a song by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. Pearl Jam did a remix of this song in 1999. It's called Last Kiss. Let's listen to it.
Well, the Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far. There in the road, straight ahead, the car was stalled, the engine was dead. I couldn't stop, so I swerved to the right. Never forget the sound that night. The crying tires, the busting glass, the painful scream that I heard last.
Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me.
She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good,
so I can see my baby when I leave this world. Nice, nice, nice. Don't you like that drum? Okay. So here's what I wanted you to listen to, because these were the words that caught my attention when I was listening to this. The chorus goes like this. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. Is that true? Is that really true? Is life just about being good, maintaining a certain moral standard so someday we can get into heaven someday? Over the next four chapels, we are going to be exposing four big lies that college students like you buy into. And this morning, we want to focus on the lie, and here's the lie, that being good is good enough. Let me repeat it again. The lie that being good is good enough. Author Christian Smith, in his recent landmark studies on the religious and spiritual lives of emerging adults, that's you, affirms that this is a common system of thinking among American youth today, even those who identify themselves as Christians. I call this system of thinking the theology of good. Fundamentally, it implies that if a person leads a decent and good life, that God is going to have to give him a pass into heaven someday. Now, this way of thinking is not a new phenomenon. In fact, Jesus himself encounters a young man in the 19th chapter of Matthew who has this way of thinking. Listen to the word of the Lord. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And also you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all of these. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Leave that up there if you could, Paul. Now, if we listen closely to this text, we discover that the young man lays not just one question before Jesus, but two questions. The first is, how can I become good? And the second question he asked Jesus is, how do I attain eternal life, or in the Greek, zoe? Jesus' answer to both of the young man's sincere questions is tucked in the last two words of verse 21. Do you see him? Jesus says to the young man, "Follow me." Now, these two words don't mean a whole lot to us moderns in the Western culture, but to the ancient Middle Easterner, these two words had significant emphasis. You see, within the rabbinic tradition of Jesus' day, anytime a rabbi said to a young person, "Follow me," they were inviting that person into a shared life together, where the young person would literally travel and live with the rabbi with the purpose of taking on the very character and qualities of that rabbi. So in these two words, "follow me," Jesus makes it clear to the young man that both righteousness or goodness and eternal life does not come through a code of conduct or a spiritual checklist, but through a relationship with Jesus himself. Jesus, the one who the Apostle Paul said, he, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin, so in him, in Jesus, not in us, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, the life," zoe, only in Jesus. What makes Jesus different is that when he invites young men and women and old men and women to follow him, it's an invitation to be in relationship with him based not on our intellect, not on our looks, not on our creativity, not on our performance, not on our pedigree, not even on our own level of goodness, but it's based on Jesus' goodness and his deep love and affection for you and for me. And that's huge, because the emphasis of the relationship is not based so much on us, but it's based on Jesus and his life and his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his reign even now. Which is sweet, isn't it? I mean, I think it's so sweet, makes me want to sing another song. And it's not from the 1960s. It's a great old hymn, and if you know it, help me out when I start singing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground all other ground is sinking sand. Now that's the truth. And that's the truth that I hope J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers came to believe and live into. And it's my hope that it's a truth, the truth, that you and I will not only believe, but live into as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.